This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kate comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing Mac, PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, and Louis will be calling in just a moment. We'll see if the lights start blinking here at the studio. So I'm going to start with a couple things while he's getting connected. And I guess the first thing I want to talk about is one of my favorite Linux distributions. Finally got to version 1 this month, between shows this month. So it's called Pop OS. It's actually made in Denver, Colorado. And they are making a new interface called... let's see, and we got Louie. You're on with the geeks.
Hey, it's Louie.
Hey, Louie.
How's it going?
It's going.
All right. We got a radio show going on here?
We got a radio show going on here, yep.
Good deal. Well, I don't know what you think, but I was thinking we just barely scratched the surface on our whole thing about scams couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I think we could pick it up right where we left off and
yeah,
save some people money for the holidays.
Right.
So, where did we leave off? Did we hit the, did we do cold calls?
I think we touched on cold calls, but I think that's a good chunk of the ones that I deal with are initiated through cold calls, I should say.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for terms of discussion, we should lump, unsolicited, drive-by malware as, I don't know, can we lump that in with cold calls too? Because that's really, it's not like any action that the user took.
Well, I guess you could say that on all three of them. You know, you could say that for scam and phishing emails. You could say that for, scam and phishing phone calls. And you could say the same for, drive-by malware installers. Oh, that one's not, that one's a little tougher to protect yourself from.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely is. At the same time, I think if we just do a good job of educating our listenership about, the fact that everybody is really good at appearing very legit. for instance, on the drive-by malware, they'll have like what looks like a absolute certified Microsoft logo, and they're professionals, they're graphic designers, and basically have a great looking logo, and sometimes it'll be a Norton logo or a McAfee logo.
Which they can just download from the McAfee or Microsoft website
or Google Images
or anywhere. There's a bunch of places to pull it from.
Yeah, you can screenshot it on the computer. For instance. And I think the key is to just like make sure that everybody knows that it's not very difficult to look like you're official.
Uh-huh.
And support the idea that you're really calling to help. Or the warning on your screen isn't really from Microsoft. And even though it looks like it's right from Bill Gates.
You're right. I got a phishing message today. It says, required update for your work account. And then it has a long, a long unique identifier string. But it's from eplotter.cl. So I'm going to have to go on in there and complain to their system administrator that they're sending out spam and see if I can get them... taken off the internet. So the only part that really throws it, this one's obvious, but it says it has a big, at the top has a nice orange Microsoft 365. Attention, my username, your credentials, username at rfhelpdesk.net is due for an update today. Please click below to update your mailbox settings. rfhelpdesk .net service team. I am the service team. So yeah, not. So now I get to have.
Let me guess. One of the first things that they need to help you update your mail settings is your email password, right?
I did not get a chance to set up my sandbox and start playing with these people.
Got it. Well, so. I'm just saying that one of the clear earmarks of internet-based scams is somebody wanting.
Uh-oh. All right, we'll get him back here in just a second. So, you're listening to KDNK on. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer. Waiting for Louie to get back here in just a second. You're on with Geeks.
Hey, good old-fashioned telephone technology, right?
Absolutely.
So, let's see. Where were we at? I was talking about how if somebody is looking to get your credit card number or your email password, anything that you would consider, guarded personal information. If the people on the phone are looking to get that from you, or if you have some sort of a prompt on your computer that's looking to get that from you, chances are you're dealing with some less than, less than honorable individuals.
Right. I was actually thinking about this the last couple of weeks with a password. So if you have a password manager, it's watching, the URL for you. It's watching for Microsoft.com or Google.com or, your website.com or whatever it is. But it's doing that association where, so if you go to Microsoft.com, it says, hey, you have, 9 logins. Or if you go to Google.com, you have 15 logins or whatever it is. And,
sure.
And so that makes it so, like, if you are using a tool like that and you're using a plugin in your browser and you click on one of these malicious links and it's sitting here giving you a blank stare, like, I don't have anything for this login or for this, domain. That's a really clear sign for the user to go, wait a minute, something is very wrong here. Why is this wrong?
Yeah. Dare I say, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Exactly.
I think we've kind of beat this horse, as dead as it's going to get. But, just to recap that, back in the day, I don't know if you are old enough to remember this or not. I think you probably are. Back in the day, it was a thing for your internet provider to call you up and say, hey, we just wanted to put it on your radar that your email appears to have been compromised. You seem to have a virus on your computer. There's a crazy amount of traffic being generated from your computer. Oftentimes they would say, and, for now, we're going to shut down your circuit until you do something about it because it's flooding our system. And that is the last instance that I know of where well-meaning individuals will call you on the phone and let you know that there's something wrong with your computer. You don't see that very often anymore because viruses and spam relays and things like that on your device just don't happen.
Well, it'd have to run. Those things would have to run for days or weeks. If you're uploading it. A large corporation now doesn't care if you're uploading at 40 megabits a second for, 3 or 4 or 5 days. I do it all the time.
There you go. Yep.
That's the other side of it. It's like it used to be like, you're tying up the DSL line and you're tying up the upstream bandwidth. You're tying up enough of it that it's a problem for other people. So we're going to have to do something about it. But that's not, that's not really the case anymore, I wouldn't say.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. However, the ISPs do have, I'm sure, some sort of software trap on their pipelines that basically alarm bells start going off when, you know, somebody is pumping out a couple million email messages, you know, somebody's over their internet circuit. I'm sure that that...
I'm sure there's some monitoring there. Yeah. Yeah, eventually you're just like, why did my internet stop working? Oh, you call them and you go, oh, that's why. They're probably not going to call you.
Yeah, exactly. Your circuit's just going to shut down. And so anyway, let's move along, I guess. What other delicious scam vector do you want to talk about next?
I was going to say, maybe we should go into the, you know, the drive-by, or the, you know, it's like you go to a website and your browser gets taken over.
Okay.
You know, and they say everything from like, we're the FBI, we're going to, you know, you're in big trouble, mister, if you don't send us Apple gift cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, call this number, and then it's like, oh, we'll clean up your computer for, you know, $500-$600.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Or, let's see, what are some of the other good ones? You need to re-register your IP address.
Uh-huh. I haven't seen that one in a while.
That's a great one. Yeah. I got news for everybody out there in radio land. That is not a thing. You do not have to, you know, your IP address is something that you get in perpetuity. As long as you paid your internet bill, you have an IP address. And that will, because your internet connection won't work if you don't have one. And so it wouldn't really be to their best interest, you know, to have you lose your IP address and then not be able to use your internet circuit, because then you stop paying them. And so that's one that I've seen. Another one is large, let's see, you need to renew your antivirus.
I get that one all the time.
Yep. And the real red light there is, you know, I mean, what's the cost of being, what's the most expensive antivirus coverage that you've seen, you know, in your trip? I mean,
I just use Microsoft Defender for a large portion of my clients.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
and, you know, we should talk about that in a minute too, mm-hmm. as well, because that's an important thing so that people. Yeah. I'm constantly educating people about that, and you know, I guess the red, because there are a lot of people that enjoy the peace of mind that comes from that little window that pops up in the lower right hand corner that says we protect you from X number of threats or. We found a malicious thing that came in on this email, or, you know, they like the comfort or, you know, knowing that they're being taken care of. And so they like to have a third party antivirus on the computer.
I say, at that point, you should just talk to one of us and get Microsoft 365 Premium.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Because it has some, and I think it looks like they're gonna, this summer, they're going to raise their rates on a lot of the Microsoft 365 stuff and add a bunch of security things to it. I don't know exactly what that looks like yet, but I saw that from one of my reps that Microsoft is going to be increasing the cost for 365 this summer and adding some security and AI tools, you know, to the goodie bag.
Yeah, got it. So, you know, I'm going to say that, I mean, most of these antivirus renewal things, I've seen price tags like $299 on them, you know.
I mean, isn't that like usually like, I remember stuff like that. It's like, for, you know, here, buy 5 years in advance, and it'll be in that ballpark.
Yeah. Well, I haven't even seen that. I mean, usually it's, you know, your family antivirus plan is, you know, $300 or whatever, And people just go ahead and pony up the money, you know? And so, you know, that's one of them. And let's see, the you need to renew your Microsoft Windows license. That's another good one.
Yeah, we'll see.
especially when a Mac user.
Yeah.
When a Mac user sees that one.
Yeah, that one's always fun. It's always the Mac users that see that one. It's like, oh, you need to renew Windows. It's just like, it's a Mac.
Yeah. I get people that call me and they're like, do I have Windows? I'm like, no, you don't. And you don't need to renew it, you know? So, anyway, so that. And let's see, where were we on that? Oh, let's talk about Microsoft Defender real quick, shall we?
Sure.
Yeah.
So basically, the short of it is if you don't have any antivirus, or your antivirus, it's like you get a free, McAfee thing with your new computer or whatever it is, and that stops working for some reason. Microsoft will go ahead
after 30 or 45 days usually.
Yeah, whatever
from data purchase. Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
So you'll basically be in there and, basically Windows will just go, hey, you don't have an active antivirus. I'm going to load Defender. Here I go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, the spiel that I give people about Windows Defender is that, if anybody knows, because, antivirus and malware stuff is all about, where are the vulnerabilities in Windows? Where the cracks, or where the back doors, or the open windows, or the keys under the floor mat. If anybody knows where the cracks are, it's Microsoft, because they built it. That's the argument that I make to people. They're like, well, is it any good? I'm like, well, if you think about it, the person that builds something is probably the most familiar with its vulnerability.
I was reading an article some time ago, and Microsoft is working on basically an API, a standardized way for antiviruses, to basically talk to the kernel to the Microsoft kernel. Or excuse me, the Windows kernel. And so it'll be, they're going to be a lot more. It looks like the way that Microsoft talks to the kernel about, those kinds of things, and the way third parties are going to be talking to, the inner workings of your computer are going to be more standardized going forward.
Okay.
So
that sounds like a good way to dodge any antitrust litigation.
Well, every once in a while, you read about a third party company. What was the one recently? Was it CloudStrike? Was that it? It was one of the EDRs, which I'm kind of moving. I'm moving towards an EDR for most of my business clients. It's a centralized place that keeps track of what's going on on each computer, and if something weird happens, I get an alert. So it's kind of like antivirus, but it's centralized. But basically, one of those had a bad update, and the way it talked to the kernel inside of the computer, and it bricked a whole bunch of servers and a whole bunch of devices, and brought the internet to a standstill for a day while they were trying to figure out how to fix their update that they pushed that stopped a whole bunch of systems from functioning. So you're kind of playing this game where it's like, Microsoft knows it best, but they don't necessarily, every one of them has a different threat pipeline, so they're getting information about threats in different ways, and so everyone has their pros and cons about which ones, do a good job about what. And so every couple of years I reassess which antiviruses are working, and the last couple of times I've reassessed, Defender has been very near the top, and it's the Price is Right.
Yeah, sure. It's I hate to be glib or anything, but the bottom line is the best way to like the best antivirus is just to stay off the internet. So that's not realistic, right?
Well, I mean, if you want an air gapped, it's just like I'm considering having an air gapped system, you know, that lives in the closet, and I update it basically through a pen drive, and it's, you know, and I save you know, things that I want highly secure on it, you know, so put it in like a lockbox and keep it off the internet and use it only for a couple very specific things, you know, in particular, like where I would store my my encryption keys for my backups. That would be the only place that it exists.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think, I know we're kind of getting close on time here, but I think we should maybe, because I've seen a number of people suffer significant loss through the man in the middle threat. And I think we should probably touch on that, if for no other reason than to just drive it home how important it is that you have a good password update routine. You know, and as much as we all hate doing it, it's so important that you don't leave a password languish on your email account for, you know, 6 months. You know?
Well, you know what? I'd agree with you until 2016 when NIST changed their plans. But the thing that most people are terrible about is we're stuck in, you know, the 2010 idea of a password where it's like, you know, troubadour, then you replace the, you know, the E's with threes and, you know, the A's with fours. And so, you know, so we do all these substitution things, and it's just, we have to add a number and an ampersand, and humans just are terrible at remembering convoluted passwords like that. And guess what? It doesn't really add, because of the way you calculate entropy on a password, a simpler password, even if it's all lowercase, a string of lowercase letters that is, you know, and, or words in that case. I mean, my password's 13 words, if you want to try, you know.
Yeah.
I memorized it in literally a day. It's 13 words. It's a nonsense sentence. I type it into my computer, and that gets me to all my other passwords in my password manager. But if you're going to do one thing, if you want to look up EFF Diceware, it's Electronic Frontier Foundation, and then just search for dice. It has directions on how to make a passphrase. If you do it nowhere else, set up a strong passphrase on your email. That's the keys to your kingdom. And set up at least one or two second factor authentication ways to get in there, and make sure you print your backups and know where they print your set up your ways to get back into that account if it get compromised. And then the only other big thing for me is making sure that you are sanitary about your where you type your password in. So it's just like, you know, do I trust my friend's computer? Do I trust the library's computer? You know, how trustworthy am I typing this password into? Because if I type this password into the wrong place, it doesn't matter how strong it is. Somebody now has it if the computer's compromised.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, well, and like I said, I know we are getting right down to the wire on time here, but one of the tips that I wanted to pass along to people just a little information. The man in the middle compromise basically means when somebody hacks your internet, your email, and then the first thing they do is they go in and they create a bunch of rules that basically deflect all of your incoming email into a some sort of like off in the corner folder that you don't even know about oftentimes. And so when the people on your email list start getting scam emails from you and they start replying and saying, hey, I think you've been hacked, all that stuff goes into this, you know, arbitrary hidden folder. And so you're none the wiser that anything is going on.
Yep.
And so one of the ways that, you know, people can be diligent about, you know, just kind of checking up on this or to make sure they haven't even been half compromised is to log into your webmail every now and then and go in. And like if you're on Gmail, you want to go in and basically review what filters have been created on your account. And filters is the way that Gmail takes, you know, email that meets certain criteria and does things with it, whether it forwards it, whether it sends an out-of-office reply, whether it puts it in a folder, whatever. And so that's, you know, that's something that, you know, people can do to make sure that nobody's been in there monkeying around with their account. So
I take it that one's from personal experience.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I can tell you that 300,000 American dollars between several of my different clients have found their way into the wrong people's hands.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is. It is. So, and I can only hope that karma is a thing.
I can. We can only hope.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we are. We'll be back for the first of the year.
Yep, the 5th.
Yeah, this must be a, yeah, it's a 5-Monday month. So, anyway, go ahead and take us out, Matt.
Yeah, you've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio, or with Louie the Computer Guy Remote. Have a great holiday season. We'll be back first of the year, or excuse me, the 5th of the year. And don't touch your knob.